Well, we had a little bit of vacation for 3 months, 3 weeks. I missed you guys. For 3 weeks, I think it's time for a little bit of review. What we did, spent a lot of time talking about some Kevin Comidre. We talked about the obligation to pray, and we noted that there was a fundamental machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban. And this is a machloket that will carry us through. You turn off the ear?
No, it turned itself off. The switch is on.
But the if it gets too cold enough. If it gets too cold.
There's another one over there.
No, it's because it's up as a Shabbos clock. It turns it so forth. Yeah, it's not a Shabbos clock. No, it won't go back on. I'm sorry, it's playing with the switches. Okay, so we learned that there was a fundamental machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban whether there is a biblical obligation to pray. The Rambam, based on a Sifri, maintains that the verse, Ulavdo b'chol levavchem, serve God with all your heart. What's the service? What's the concept of service of the heart? Says the Sifri and the Rambam after him, that means to pray. That there is indeed a biblical obligation to pray. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban goes through a variety of sources. We went read through this discussion, which demonstrates that the obligation to pray is merely rabbinic in origin. The Ramban, in one place in Chumash, states that there is an obligation. When Klai Yisrael is in Tzarot, then there's a biblical obligation to pray. Right? It says, because the Pasuk says, when you come to battle, it's got the Mechatzot Tzarot, and you have to cry out to Hashem. But that's the only time there's a biblical obligation to pray as a community. The individual has no obligation to pray. And that is a very fundamental distinction that's going to have to carry us through an analysis of women's obligation to pray, which we're going to discuss very shortly. Okay. The story begins on page 101, okay, at the very top. But instead of reading that, why don't we actually read the Gemara? This is the Shtanza, so this handout over here. Okay? It says, Brachot Daf Chaf Chafal, a bit. We'll read, what we're going to do is we're going to read the Mishnah and the Gemara that relates to it. Okay? We're not going to read 101. Okay? 101 is just merely selection from here. Okay? Now we're going to read from this handout. There's some copy. Okay. Nashim, and this, by the way, this Mishnah is a very important Mishnah because it deals with the obligation of women in many things. Nashim vavadim uktanim. Okay. Nashim vavadim uktanim. Women who are obligated only obligated mitzvot asei shezman grama. Avadim who have obligations like women. Uktanim who have minimal obligations. Pturim mikriyat shema. Are freed from the recitation of Kriya Shema, umin ha-tfilin, and from putting on tefillin, v'chayavim b'tfila, u'bimezuzah, u'bibirkat ha-mazon. Okay, and our focus here is on women, that the women are freed from saying Kriya Shema, and we'll just see how that reflects itself in the halakha, and from putting on tefillin, but they are obligated to pray, to put on, have a mezuzah on their house, and to recite Birkat ha-mazon. Okay, let's now read the Gemara. Gemara, Kriyat Shema. Women are freed from the obligation of Kriyat Shema. Pshit, this is obvious. Why do I need a Mishnah teaching that? After all, mitzvah asei shazman gramahu. It's a positive mandate to try to determine. Why? Because it says, b'shachbecha uvekumecha. You should say Kriyat Shema in the morning when you get up and when you go to sleep. These are positive mandates to try to determine. ובכל מצאת עשה שהזמן גרמה נשים טובות, and women are free from all positive commandments, which are time determined, so the Gemara says, מהו דתנו? I might have thought, הויל ואית בא מלכות שמיים, because since it expresses such a fundamental principle of accepting the divine yoke, therefore women would be obligated, we would think that women would be obligated, kamash malan, therefore come to teach me. No, if the Torah freed them, we cannot go ahead and obligate them to make the expression. Doesn't mean that we don't have to believe in it, doesn't mean that we won't have to, they don't have to express it in this particular formulation, creational. It doesn't mean that women can't say it, it doesn't mean women shouldn't say it, it means they're not obligated to say it. Okay? Now, there's an interesting problem here. If they're freed, right, from mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah that says shazman grama, what does the Gemara mean? Mahu, I might have thought that what? Mahu de tema, hol vi'it bama, since it has, it's that so fundamental, that they should be obligated, who should obligate? We just said the biblically free. No. What? No. One possibility, there are two possibilities of interpretation here. One is that you might think that since it's accepting the divine yoke, that even though it has to be expressed twice a day, right? That's the. But in fact, what is it? It's a continuous mitzvah. You might think, he said, you know, the obligation to believe in God, to accept the divine yoke, is a continuous mitzvah, which must be expressed twice a day. So you might say, you know, you could think that it's really a continuous mitzvah which has a part to it of expression. You know, you got to believe, and then the expression's got to be done twice a day. So you might say, well, since women have to believe all day long, the expression, even though the expression is twice a day, you might think that's not such a mitzvah to say shazman grama, woman would be obligated. You don't like that.
What, how do you read all that?
Because, no! Good, very good, very good, very good. Very often, when I would discuss learning Gemara with my father, he would come and I would try to give a svara, he would say, ha'ika chaser min ha'sefer. It's missing from the text. Mahu detema. We might think that since it has Malchut Shemayim, which I have to believe in at all times. Now, you're right, that's not in the statement. The statement says, because it's Malchut Shemayim. You might think you'd have to believe, do it, have to, therefore, it's really a continuous mitzvah. You have to, the Torah says, express it twice a day. Yes, but that's only, Torah says, you got a morning and night, you got to express it, but you got to believe all day. Therefore, I might think the women are obligated because the belief has to be all day long. It only expresses when I only got to believe in God in the morning and night. No, I got to believe all day long. It's merely expression. So therefore, I might think that this is the type of mitzvah which has its continuous obligation with certain parts that are non-continuous.
But you also might think that because the time in Yom is so cool.
The Shachar of Kumecha, it's not.
No, it's not.
Shachar of Kumecha means the first 3 hours of the day and all night long. You're right, the all night long. By the way, when we get into Kriyat Shema, you're going to see that the halacha, because of this argument, the halacha is going to say women are not obligated, but they really should do it. Because the argument here is, that the Gemara gives you the obvious argument. It's so important. How could you say women are free? The answer is they're free, but they should do it. We educate all our daughters to do it. Right? We do it because it's so important, but I can't obligate them. That means that if push comes to shove, and a woman has some other priorities, the halacha says you have the choice to decide not to do it. That's what obligation means. It doesn't mean you can't do it. Another possibility is that maybe the rabbi should have obligated them. Right?
That's what they say.
You're right. You're exactly right. That Tosfot would have learned Pshat in this Gemara, why Kamash Malan, that the rabbis can't obligate women in the things that the Torah freed them from. Right? That the Torah freed them from. That's one possibility. And then remember, Rashi holds that things are rabbinic in origin. Well, that's not. You're right. The Torah didn't. That's a good point too. Blind people according to many authorities, are free from all positive commands biblically, yet they're rabbinically obligated. So by that, but it's not clear that the Torah explicitly excluded that. There's a long discussion, there's a very famous taz in Yeridea, that the Torah can't go ahead and obligate someone who would, the rabbis can't go along and obligate someone who the Torah explicitly exempted. That's a view of the taz. There's a big machloket whether the taz is right or not. Okay? But those are the two possible interpretations. That's more says, Uminat Tfilin. Let's go to the next one. Uminat Tfilin. And women are free from putting on Tfilin. Pshita, obvious. Because Tfilin also is a positive command which is time determined. Because you're only obligated to put on Tfilin during the weekdays. And not on Shabbaton, Yom Tovim. So it's a limited mitzvah. Mao de Tema Hoil V'itkash de Mezuzah. In Kriyat Shema, the mitzvah of tefillin is mentioned right by mezuzah. We went through this when we discussed mitzvah teishas man grama. We discussed the fact that how the things are linked together, and tefillin, since it's linked to mezuzah, you might think that the women should be free, should be obligated. K'mashman, so it comes to teach me that they're free. V'chayavim b'tefillah. Okay, now this comes to the point that's relevant to us. V'chayavim b'tefillah, and women are obligated in prayer. Now, in this particular section, there are a great many gifsa'ot, very different readings of the text. One reading has as follows, v'chayavim b'tfilah, pshita. Obviously, women are obligated. D'rachmeinu, because it's a request for mercy, okay? The question whether the word pshita is there or not, is it the obvious? That's the question, whether the word pshita is there or not. The chayavim b'tfilah, pshita, derachameinu. It's obvious, it's a request for mercy. What does that mean? It's a request for mercy. Therefore what?
They're obligated.
Therefore, just as the women are obligated, just as what? Just as men are obligated because of request of mercy, women are obligated because of request of mercy. Simple question. Where does this come from? The Rambam or the Rambam? What it says here, if it was one possibility, okay, I'm trying to make you sensitive to the problem here. Pshita derachmeinu, it's a request for mercy, right? It's a request for mercy. Therefore what? Therefore women are obligated. The Rambam said, why are women obligated? Does anybody remember? Okay, take out the other page. Take out the second page. Okay? Right? Remember the Rambam said that prayer is biblical in origin, right? Right? Mitzvah say b'chol yom shirem ha'vavad adek, sorry, the Aleph, right? Let's read it again. Mitzvah say that palal b'chol yom shirem ha'vavad adek ad Hashem elokechem. Mepnei ha'shmu alamdu shavod azohu tefila shirem ha'vavdo b'chol avavchem. Amu chachamim eizu hi avodah shavalei v'vavser v'chazoh tefila. The number of tefillah is not biblical. The mishnah tefillah hazot, the text is not biblical. The tefillah hazot keva minatar, there's no specific times for the prayer. Bet. Ulefichach nashim v'avadim chayavim b'tefillah. Why? Lefi shehi mitzvah taseh shalo hazman gama. Got it? So according to the Rambam, the reason why women are obligated in prayer is because, not because it's a request of mercy, but because what? It's a mitzvah to say, shelo hazman grama. It's a positive man which is not time determined. Okay.
Isn't there a time for shacharit?
Excellent. Okay. Now, so right off the bat, we seem to have a problem here. Now, we're going to do a little bit of juggling here with the text. We're going to try to learn the text, both according to the Ramban, both according to the Rambam. We're going to try to learn the text. Sometimes, some people say that the Rambam had a different reading in the text completely. We'll see that too in a second, okay? It's going to get a little bit confusing. Try to hang in there. And if you don't follow, ask questions. Now, so let's start. Okay? In any case, the Rambam nowhere mentions the word rachamim. Okay. So let's now read, let's start again. Pshita. Mahu de Tehla. Look, I'll try to start again. The Gemara says, V'chayavim b'tfila. You with me? V'chayavim b'tfila, why? So the Gemara says, Pshita or not Pshita? The Rachmenu, it's a request for mercy. Just as men need mercy, so women need mercy. So then he says, Mahu de Tehla, I would have thought. Ho yuktiv ba'erem v'vogim v'tzarayim. Since in the Pasuk and Tehillim, and in fact, that's what we do. You have to pray. The expression of this obligation to pray is how? Three times a day, erev, at night, in the morning, in the afternoon. Kim mitzvat aseh shazman graman dami. So it looks like it's been turned into what? A positive commandment, which is time determined. Kamashlo, so comes to teach me the what? That nevertheless, women are obligated. Okay? That's what we're back in the Gemara, okay? Okay, let's now, yes.
One thing, would you have a parallel between Tefillah and Kriyat Shema? So then I didn't understand Kriyat Shema the way you said it. In other words, it's not because Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim is all day long. It's just that Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim is so important the way Bakashach Rachamim is. So it has nothing to do with the fact that that's all day long. It's just that the fact that the need for tefillah is overriding the fact that it's in Mitzvah Seishalizim Ma'amimah, just the way Kabbalat Ol Malchut.
But the Gemara did not say that. The Gemara says when it comes to Kriyat Shema, you might have thought that they should have been obligated. Because what? Because it's Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. And Mishnah comes to teach you to tell you that they're not obligated. Either they're not obligated. I gave several possibilities. What does it mean, obligated? Let's take the second interpretation, that the rabbis did not come along and obligate the women for this special reason. Because it's Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. But now.
But
in Tefillah here, they're
not necessarily talking about
Shabbos
and
Gemara.
They're talking about prayer in general. They're not talking about prayer
specifically. Okay. Okay, you're now beginning to do some fancy footwork. And this is, and it's going to be necessary. The question is, what do we mean? And okay, as I start swimming through the material, I just sort of prime yourself, because there's a lot of possibilities. What do we mean when we say tefillah? Normally when we say, throughout halacha, when we say tefillah, we mean shmona esrei. That's the halachic definition. You may be forced into saying what you want to say at some later date. That you're suggesting, well, maybe tefillah here is different. Maybe tefillah means to pray. The concept of prayer. Right? That there's a prayer obligation. That's very rare. Just to say that your women are obligated to pray. Okay? But let's yes.
One question, I don't know if we ever reached a conclusion. How do you define mitzvah seshet ma'amar in terms of repeating daily mitzvahs?
Mitzvah seshet.
It doesn't necessarily have.
Mitzvah seshet, we there's several possible definitions.
Because I think that's like very relevant here. It's a mitzvah that you're obligated to do every day.
No, it's a mitzvah that essentially it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah that you do every day is not the grounds. If I'm obligated every single day without stop,
no,
tefillin.
How about once a day? Every 6 minutes, once.
Every single day, any time during the day. Like yes, for stucco, tefillin. Tefillin. You can put on tefillin any time during the day. Males, but you put it on once a day. But you can put it, you can wear it all day long, you can put it on it 6 times a day.
And
that
doesn't count.
What?
And we decided that counts or doesn't count.
That's not Mitzvah position. Mitzvah Nasei Shazayim Rabbani, there's a period where you're not obligated. Where the obligation ceases and then restarts again.
And when you're done for the day?
No. There's a time. You put it on during the day, at night you don't, like tzitzis. You put it on during the day, at night you don't. Next morning you put it on again.
That's just my.
Right. Okay. Now.
No, because if this filling is pouring out your heart once a day.
Yeah, but you can pick any time during the day. There's nothing about the time slot. That's not time to judge. That's right. That is any. You can do it. You may be right, and that's what Rambam says. If I can do it any time during the day, I'm only obligated once a day, Rambam. I do it early in the morning. I finish the rest of the day. Right? That doesn't make a mitzvah to say Shazman Rabbah, because another person can do it at the end of the day. There's nothing about the time that limits the mitzvah.
So then why is tefillin shita?
Because you don't put it on tefillin on Shabbos.
But it's not because of why.
So definitely we're not free because of the past. It's clearly a positive command.
But it's not because Shabbat is preventing you from putting it on.
It's not because Shabbat. There's nothing about Shabbat that prevents you from putting on tefillin. There's a special Gemara learns that you have to have two. That Shabbat is an oath, and since Shabbat is an oath, tefillin is also an oath, and you don't have to put it on. That oath frees you from oath.
So the fact that you can do it all day, but you can't do it on Shabbos makes it such a simple.
That's correct. That is correct. The fact there's no obligation in Shabbat frees you from that. So it makes it not next to the mitzvah that says right on. Okay. Now, Upirkat HaMazon, let's just continue on. Mezuzah Pshita. Obviously, Mezuzah is all day long, every day, right? Since it's compared to Talmud Torah, we know that women are free from theoretical aspects of Talmud Torah. We'll get into this eventually. We might think that they're free, they're obligated. Upirkat HaMazon Pshita. Upirkat HaMazon. Also, why should women be obligated? It's obvious. It's not a possible man which can determine. Ma'od the tema, you might say, Ho'elu k'tiv b'teit Hashem lechem ba'erev basar lechol v'lechem ba'boker lizboa. Now this is merely a verse, but it says, since people tend to eat, in the time of the Gemara they ate two times a day. So since you might say people eat at two times a day, or three times a day. So you might say it's like a positive. Therefore, it's like a positive command, which is time determined. What people do is irrelevant. You can eat any time of the day you want, and therefore, it's not a positive command, which is time determined. Any time you eat. There's nothing about the time per se. And it's from the time you ate, but you can pick when you eat. And there's nothing about an hour in the day that says, right? There's no particular hour in the day that requires you to say Birkat HaMazon or not say. But you can eat it then. But but I choose when to do it. I choose when to give tzedakah. I choose when to eat. I choose when to daven. That's okay. Now, I should point out. Let's go back. Let me just point out to you that there very clearly seems to have been a completely different gear set when it comes to tefillah, okay? We talked about tefillah rachamenina, right? The Gemara says, why are women obligated? Bachem tefillah de rachamenina, it's a request for mercy. Okay? There seems to have been a different reading of this Gemara completely. How do I know that? There's a gentleman that's going to put page 101 in the book. There is a very important posse. This gentleman's name is Rabbi Yitzhak Alfasi, the Rif. The Rif was codified Gemara, and he did it in a very cute way. He went through the Gemara, cut out the discussion, and just quoted what the Pesach Halach was. As he went page by page, cut out the discussion, and gave you the Pesach Halach. The bottom line of the discussion. They gave you this, says Rav says this, Abaye says this, without all the arguments back and forth, unless there's a particular halacha learned from the discussion. That's what he sometimes does. But he cuts through, it's sort of the monarch notes for those who. He gives you just the basic line, the basic important points. So let's look at how the Rav Alfasi reads the Gemara, what his argument is. Kriyat Shema Tefillin, you got it? You with me? Kriyat Shema Tefillin, the Havale Mitzvah Daseh Shazman Grama, the Chom Mitzvah Daseh Shazman Grama, Nashim Turot. Next, Tefillah Umezuzah Birkat HaMazon, the Havale Mitzvah Daseh Shalom Hazman Grama, the Chom Mitzvah Daseh Shalom Hazman Grama, Nashim Chayavot. So he mentions Tefillah, right? He says Tefillah is exactly like the reason gave by Mezuzah and Mazon. It's Pshita because why? It's a Mitzvah Daseh Shalom Hazman Grama. So notice he doesn't even mention Rachamim. Suggestive that in his Gemara, the reading went as follows. The Gemara said, Tefillah, the mitzvah of Seisha Zman Gramari. Or something like that. Mitzvah of Seisha Lo Zman Gramari. Alternatively, He may have had a slightly, it's not clear exactly what his reading was. It's very clear that his bottom line is not rachamei. That's not the reason for obligation. The reason for obligation is, so there's a mitzvah asay shelo zman gaon. That's why women are obligated. Okay? Now, there's a great deal of discussion. Try to reconstruct what did the Rif have, right, in front of him. Some say that he had something like this. If you want to follow with me, and I'll try to reconstruct. Some say he just had tefillah, the chayim tefillah, the mitzvah that says shazman grameh, something like that. Or some say he had as follows, the chayim and the tefillah, pshita. Like in every other case, remember we went through the Gemara. Gemara says, pshita is obvious. Why do you have to tell me? Why is it obvious? Because it's mitzvah to say, shelo azman gramah. So the Gemara comes and says, because you might have thought the what? The woman should be free, because it says what? Erev avoger v'tzarayim. Ke mitzvah to say, shazman gramah dami. That fact that there's an obligation to pray three times a day. Therefore, a woman should be what? Free. Kamash malon, that they're obligated, because why? Because it's mitzvah to say, shelo azman gramah. Okay, you follow me? Now, you'll see that what I just said now is much, much more complicated than it seems. Go ahead.
Because Shacharit, Mincha, and Ma'ariv also have time determined.
That's right. But they're time determined the rabbinical. Okay. That's now. Okay. I don't want to get bogged down. There's a lot of this page reams and reams about how did the Rambam read the text? How did the Rif read the text? How did this? We're going to do some of it now because it's relevant to Psak Halacha. Okay? That's now. Now, if I hold the prayer is rabbinic, the girsur, you know, the reading, rachmeinu fits in beautifully. Perfect. That's perfect. Rabbi is obligated, meant to pray, because it's a request for mercy. Men and women are like in the need for mercy. Therefore, the rabbi is obligated women to pray as well. Okay? Now comes the $64,000 question. How many times are they obligated to pray? And when we say tefillah, meaning what? Shmon Esrei. Now remember, we're going to eventually have to deal with several different obligations. We have to deal with Birkat HaShachar separately. Each has a different rule. Pesukei Dezimra has a separate obligation. Kriyat Shema, Birkot Kriyat Shema, how many sections of the Kriyat Shema, what about Yitziat Mitzrayim, Habad Emet V'Amuna, Shmona Esrei, Musaf, right? All of these we're going to deal one at a time. Don't get confused. We're now talking about Shmona Esrei. How many times a day are women obligated in Shmona Esrei?
One or two.
One.
Ma'arvit is probably the question, right?
I'm asking you. Don't preach to me. You're not being fair. Because all of you lovely women are prejudiced by what you may have heard. Right? I'm asking you to think logically.
Three?
Women should be obligated three times a day. If the whole reason men are obligated is because of wives, rachamei. And that for that same reason, we obligated women the same thing in Shmona Esrei. They should be obligated three times a day. I don't see any reason why. Yeah. I mean, thinking logically. They should be obligated three times a day. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Look at Ellen Sin on page 103. We're skipping around with it. Let's go. Okay? Let's see. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan says, right? This is at the bottom, sort of the bottom, just above the line there, on page 103. B'dochak yesh liyashiv mashe nashim shalanu ein zihirot b'chol shalosh ha'tefilot. Says with great difficulty, I have to explain why women don't daven all three prayers. Okay, we're going to come to talk about this problem, that somehow there was a clash between womankind and halacha. But what is his halachic premise? The women are obligated three times a day. Look at page 114. This is the Tzlach, the no-dibyut, one of the great pillars of Tzlach. And let's see what the tzlach says. The tzlach, we're going to come to the tzlach back again later. That deals with women davening musaf. Okay, davening musaf. But let's see what the no dibud in his tzilo nefesh chaya says. Okay, 114, where it says aleph. Gam b'mitzvot derabbanan she'er zman graman nashim. Even by passing a marriage, which are time determined, women are freed. Ela shibet. Vino rabbanan kiven derachameinu. They're obligated because it's rabbinic and it's a request for mercy. V'hainu b'shalosh tefilot hakavuot b'chol yom. That's the three prayers. They're obligated each every day. Right? Continue. V'afilu b'shabbat v'yom tov shatefilot hen rak shevach. And even on Shabbos, and he's raising an interesting question, which I have to come back to. And what about Shabbos? You know, why should women be obligated? It's not a request for mercy. Shabbos gives praise. We'll talk about that. But here it says, "Vafilu b'Shabbat v'yom tov shafila hein rak shavach mikom makom rachameinu." Since on the weekday it's a request for mercy, lo chilku ben Shabbat v'yom tov b'chol. That's kind of a low plug. Chazal obligated women in prayer. They're obligated in prayer. So then he has to deal with Musaf and come back. We'll come back to Musaf in a second. We'll come back to Musaf later. Okay, let's go back. Go back to page 103. So as far as we've seen, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Tzlach and many other poskim say the Pashtut. Rav Soloveitchik says it, by the way, in the Nefesh HaRav. And many other poskim, the Pashtut, women are obligated just like men. In Shemot Esrei, the Tefillah, three times a day. Because it's a request for mercy. There is a second school. Second school is the school of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which is the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, who's a tremendous, tremendous Talmid Chacham, and also the Mishnah Brura. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says on page 103. Okay, 103, and then turn the top. It's the fourth line. Yesh Omrim Sheikar Mitzvah Tefila Hi Medivrei Sofrim. Remember, this is a machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban. So he's quoting here like the Ramban. Anshei Knesset Agdola Tiknu Shmon Esrei Brachot Al HaSeder L'Tpalel Otah. The rabbi set up a list of 18 brachot, now 19, and to pray them. Shacharit U'Mincha Chuva, Shacharit U'Mincha Obligatory, V'Arvit Rishut. And Arvit, in the origin, was optional. Af Al Pi Shi Mitzvat Asei Midivrei Sofrim Shazman Grama. Even though it's a positive commandment, which is time determined and it's rabbinic, and therefore a woman should have been freed. Vanashim Tuvot Mikol Mitzvot Asei Shazman Grama. Women are free from all positive commandments or time determined, whether rabbinic or biblical. Vafilu Midivrei Sofrim, even if they're rabbinic. And for example, women are free from Halel and Kiddush Levana. When we're not obligated, he says, in Halal and Kiddush Levana, we'll talk about Kiddush Levana eventually. Aval Piken, Chivu Otan B'Tfilot Shachrit U'Mincha. Nevertheless, when we're obligated in Shachrit U'Mincha, Holu Tfila Hi B'Kashar Rachami. Since Tfila is a request for mercy, V'Chein Ikav. And that's the Tfilat Avit. What about Tfilat Avit? Shehi Rishut, which in origin, and I keep sitting in the word origin, you'll see. Shehi Rishut, in origin, was optional. Afal pi shachshav kvar kiblu alein kol Yisrael l'chova. Even though all of Israel has accepted Arvit as an obligation for generations from the time of the Talmud, mikol makom anashim lo kiblu alein chova alein. Womankind did not accept Arvit upon them. The Ruban ein mitpalalot Arvit, and the most of them don't daven Arvit. This is very interesting because most of them don't daven at all. But they certainly don't daven Arvit. So if the halacha has to come and say what they're obligated, so he says the minimal is shacharit im mincha. Okay? And it's true that, and it's, it seems that women that were careful to daven very often were lenient in Arvit. I'm not so sure. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav testifies to that. There are other historical poskim don't seem to understand it. I mean, okay, let's look at the Mishnah Berurah just below that. We're going to rather eventually read the Mishnah Berurah inside. I want you to at the very end. But at this point, Yesh lazir lenashim litpalel shmona esrei v'chol ze linyan shacharitu mincha. So the Mishnah Berurah also agrees with the Shulchan Aruch that women are obligated twice shacharit and mincha shmona esrei. Now, that is all assuming that what? that the obligation of prayer is rabbinic in origin, the motivation being rachamim. But remember now, we saw the other school. We saw the school of Rav Fassi. We saw the Rambam also say that a woman's obligation in prayer is why? What's the origin of obligation of prayer? Because it's a mitzvah that says, shelo hazman grama. Because biblically, you're obligated biblically, and biblically there's no time limit, so women are obligated in prayer. Now if I were to ask you, how many times are women obligated to pray? Okay? What's the problem? Why don't you know what to answer?
In the morning for sure.
What's bothering me that should be bothering you?
If we are obligated as men are, why isn't our obligation
missing? Wait a second. Yes.
Biblically, the
Rosa,
it's not Shmona Esrei. I agree. So
what
do
you say?
So I'm saying again what I said before, that women are obligated to pray, but they're not obligated to Shmona
Esrei. So what you're saying is follows. One possibility is to say as follows. That when the rabbis came along, everybody was obligated to pray biblically, according to the Rambam and the Rif. Then the rabbis came along and added a new level. In this new level, what did they do?
They said text, they said time, they did this, and what?
Minyan, but that was a separate obligation, because that's an additional obligation, that's not contingent. I can pray without a minyan. Okay. But in the basic prayer obligation, the rabbis added an element, which was what? Which was a mitzvah asei shazman grama element. So what you're arguing is, maybe the rabbis didn't obligate women. That is, the women were obligated to pray because they remain in this amorphous prayer obligation, which has no time, has no text, they can say anything they want to. Well, the Rambam says they have to do, they do have to say shevach, praise, a request, bakasha, and hodaya, and thanks. That is, you need these three elements. Remember, because I'll come back to it. Shevach, bakasha, hodaya. It's a great God. Help me today. Thanks for all you've done in the past. Shut up, Bakasha. That's what Rambam says. You have to have those elements. But how you say that, you know, what the text. Shevach, Bakasha, Vodaya. Okay? Or Hebrew, Shevach, Bakasha, Vodaya. And you need these three basic elements. And once you've done that, you've fulfilled your biblical obligation, says the Rambam. Now, you're arguing that when the rabbis came along and they added that new element called Shachrit, Mincha, Ma'ariv, right? Which has this Mitzvah Asei Shazman Grama element to it, women weren't obligated. Okay, that, in fact, we can actually read that into the text in the Gemara. Let's take out the Gemaras again. Okay? Let's take out that Gemara again. And let's go back, but again, the Chayavin B'Tfilah. Okay, back in this Gemara again, we'll read. Now, in order for this to work in the text, okay, the text has to read either what? Either Chayavim B'Tfilah, because the mitzvah says Shelo Hazman Grama, and that's it, and therefore Tfilah will mean what? Will mean prayer, doesn't mean Tfilah. Or I could read as follows, V'Chayavim B'Tfilah, okay? Chayavim B'Tfilah, I take out the word Derachameh. The words Rachameh I read out of the text. It's not the girsa. It's not in the girsa. Because the rift doesn't have it. But you could have said it's fine. Women are obligated. So the Gemara would say pshita. Okay? Pshita. I would think they're obligated. And it's, so the Gemara says, obvious. It's a positive command which is not kind of determined. So that's just the Gemara. Exactly what you said. I would have thought, mao de tema. What? And therefore the woman would be freed. Kamash malan. No, that they're obligated. Okay, they're obligated, but obligated in what? The basic prayer. Now, wait a second. That's one possibility. But there's another possibility. And another possibility is the woman ain't no different than men. Even according to the Rambam. And I suggest that you take out the Rambam again. And let's read the Rambam quickly. And you tell me if the first interpretation, right, as suggested by the great lady from the state of Chicago, Illinois, is the only possible obligation, right? Mitzvah that say that Pala Bukhal Yom, etc. Right? And it's right, because ולפיכה נשים ועבדים חייבים בתפילה לפי שמצוות עשה שלו זמן גרמה, and therefore women are obligated because there's a possible marriage which is not determined, and the חיוב מצווה זו ככי, this is how you have to do, we have to do it, שבת בקש ודוי, etc. Right? And then he goes on, דלת כיוון שגוי יסנובי בין מבוחד נסה, they didn't know how to speak Hebrew, so the Chazal came along, and what do? They set up a text. But now turn.
Okay.
He said they didn't know how to speak Hebrew. They didn't know what text. They couldn't say anything. They didn't know what to say. They wanted to pray. Okay. So let's go now. The second line. The kivan shira Ezra. Okay, you with me? Second side. The kivan shira Ezra obey dino kach. So they saw that they didn't know how to daven. They didn't. Amdu v'tiknu lehem shmora esve brachot al ha-seder. They set up 18 brachot, right? 18 brachot, shalosh v'shalot shevach. That's right. That's what hakel ha-gadol le-gibor, atav gibor le-shem, atav kadosh. That's the shevach. And then comes another middle one. V'nziyod yesh v'em shelak kvod v'rim. From atachonein to shmakoleinu are those middle brachot, which are all requests. It's the Chazal fleshing out what the Torah says, right? Chol chatzel etzor chetzi bro kidei shi'aruchot b'fnei hakol v'ilamdu otam v'tiye tefila elu ha'ilgim tefila shleima ketefilat balei ha'lashon ha'tzacha. Right? U'mepnei inyan zeh tiknu kol ha'bachot v'tilo mesudarot u'befi kol Yisrael kidei shi'inyan kol ha'bachot aruch tefir elu. So it'd be, then he says, and they set up the number, based according to the Karbanot, and they set up Musaf, etc., etc. Now, from a simple reading of the Rambam, I don't see any requirement to separate women from men. Men and women are obligated alike. Why? Because prayer in its origin is a mitzvah that says shalom hazman grama. So therefore, since that's its essence, Chazal said, men and women are obligated. They didn't have the free will. Women were obligated. The Chazal saw that people were davening. So Chazal said, you know, we want you to take your biblical obligation, and this is how we want you to do it. We want to teach you how to daven. And they set up the Shmona Esrei. Now, even according to the Rambam, when the Chazal came along and they gave expression to that biblical obligation, they said to do it this way. Let me give you another example of where that comes. You know, you're obligated to zechod yom haShabbat l'kadosh. Remember the Saturday of Kippur. Men are obligated, women are obligated, right? Midin Torah, from as far as the Torah is obligated, you could say is ha'ayin to Shabbos Kodesh. Today is the holy day of Sabbath. And remember, it was Shabbos. Chazal said, no. We want you to take a cup of wine, and why don't you say the following text? Asher kitshol devrat savanu b'shabbat kadosh rabbah le'ilo zech le'maseh b'rishgiyot, etc., etc. Chazal told you they wanted you to say Kiddush in a particular fashion. Chazal do this all, and they flesh out biblical obligation. This is how we want you to do it. It's very easy to learn the Rambam. The Rambam was saying, this is how Chazal came along. They put in a time determined element to it. That's what, yeah, they put a time determined element into it. That's right. And in fact, right?
Because the Rambam there that the woman is obligated is just the position of Shemor was a form.
Right.
And here, according to the Rambam.
No, but that's only, but that's not terrible. I'm just showing you the analogy of how Chazal came along and flesh it out. Furthermore, they argue that you can read it, the text of Rachamim Minhu, right, works even according to your own obligation as biblical. Why? They say as follows. Let's go back to the Gemara again. And they learn Pshat as follows. V'chayavin b'tfilah. Okay? Back to the Gemara. V'chayavin b'tfilah. Why are they obligated in prayer? The Rachamayim is a request for murder, as a request for mercy. And what does Rachamayim mean? Shmona Esrei, Shachris Mincha Mariv. So the Gemara says, why do I need the reason of Rachamayim? Why do I need the reason of Rachamayim? After all, women are obligated. Why? Because the mitzvah says Shalom Hashem Gamma. We're now going to the view that prayer is biblical in origin. So the Gemara says, Mal the Teva Hol of Chtiv Ba'erav Avog of Mitzrayim. Ke mitzvah Tasei Shazman Gamma. We would think that women should be free. Why? Because it's a positive command which is time determined. Kamash Malay comes telling me that they're obligated three times a day because it's Rachamayim. Let's put it this way. The way they want to learn Pshat in the Gemara is there are two levels of obligation. One is a biblical level of obligation, and one is a rabbinic level of obligation. Women are obligated biblically. Why? Because it's a mitzvah that says Shalom Hazman Grama. The Chazal came along, and they put a time-determined element to it. So therefore, women should have been freed from this positive commandment, time-determined element to it. It's a request for mercy. Therefore, we can't free women. But again, if the whole reason why Ezra set up the prayers at a particular time, because people didn't know how to daven, and Ezra said for men it was important because it's a request of mercy, and people have to know how to request mercy, therefore he set up times, and he set up a text, and he set up a nusach. Women too, it's rachamayinu. There's two levels here of obligation. One's a biblical obligation. What you are now presenting is a machloket between Achronim and Halim Shalom. Okay? You're 100% right. I'm just going to present. Let me now present. And now that we've sort of developed it, now let me pull it together. If I hold that prayer in origin, like the Rambam, is biblical, how many times a day do I have to pray? One second. It's biblical. Hold on. Wait a second, boy. I really do brainwash you gentlemen, guys. Okay? I don't know.
How many calories do you use up in a lecture?
Not enough.
The Brisker School, of which Jaime Brisk and the Soloveitchik families, and they published a great deal, say that the women are obligated, even according to the Rambam, remember the Rambamists, even according to the Rambam, women are got to pray three times a day. Because even though the original authority for their obligation came from the Torah, that made them obligated, and the Chazal merely said, this is how we want you to fulfill the biblical obligation. Or to add another twist, you can argue it's a mitzvah to say Shazman Gramana, Rachmaninu. That's two variations.
And they're obligated rabbinically.
And they're obligated three times a day rabbinically. The rabbi's obligated because of rachmei. No, see, one possibility is they're merely fleshing out what the Torah said. Yes, but they're obligated rabbinically. Correct. There is, however, another view, and this is the well-known view of the Magen Avraham. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Magen Avraham says, your position, 102. Just above the line. Lidat Rambam mid oraita biblically died pam achat b'chol yom b'chol nisar shemitzah. The person today died that. Just like he died once a day, any text he wants.
That's like
what
he says. He says once a lifetime.
No, the Rambam says once a day. The Rambam says once a day. The Ramban asked on him, Why is it once a day? How do you know it's once a day? Maybe it's once in a lifetime. So the Kesef Mishnah answered. The Kesef Mishnah answered, it doesn't make sense. Once a day, you're obligated to pray once in a lifetime. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, but the Rambam says once a day. Lefi shu mitzvah taseh shelo hazman gramah. I'm sorry. V'lachein, second. V'lachein nagu rov hanashim she'ein mitpalalot b'tmidut. That is the origin of this long-standing custom that women don't pray regularly, משום דאמרות מיד בבוקר, because they say as soon as they get up, סמך לנטילת ידיים, close to washing their hands, איזו בקשה. Many poskim say he's referring here to Modani. Come back to them. Yeah. Did they say Modani? They wash their hands, they have a mask, they say Modani. Hold on. Umidoraita dagaze. And biblically, that's sufficient. Ve'eshav, and it is possible, says the Magen Avraham, shegam chachamim lo chivum yoter. That the rabbis didn't obligate them more. Because Magen Avraham himself was aware of the other possibility, that the Rachmanim who obligated them to daven three times a day. He says, no. Like you said, the rabbis didn't obligate them. Okay, Haramban sover shetfilam b'derabanan v'chein dat rov haposkin. Now, I want you to remember this. Everybody cites the Magen Avraham as the source of why women don't pray. The same Magen Avraham, in the same breath, said what? That the majority of poskim hold like the Ramban, that prayer is rabbinic in origin, and that women are obligated equally. Same Magen Avraham. And when he talks about the Rambam, he only says what? Ve'efshar. Perhaps the rabbis didn't obligate them. Okay? That's.
Excellent.
No, it doesn't. Moda Ani, could you anywhere? Go to the Rambam in Sheva, Bakasha, and Hodaya. Moda ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam. Melech chai v'kayam sounds like shevach. Shechzavta bi, that's what he has, shevach and hodaya. Shechzavta bi nishmati, right? Lechem lechem la, rabba amunatecha, right? There's no
bakasha.
Oh,
so he says they ask something in addition.
So he says they ask eiz a bakasha. That's very interesting. So some of the posts say moda ani is not sufficient. Because Morani only has Shevach and Hodaya, he doesn't have Bakasha. So he says, and they ask some Bakasha, because he says, they said Morani, they need the Bakasha, so they say, God help me. Something like that. That's all you have to say. That they said, God help me. Help me. My Yiddish is terrible right now.
Not this question.
Well, tell me.
Gesund, mazal, bracha, hachlach, rabba, zal kumen of me, of mein kop, amen, seba.
Every morning.
Okay.
See? No. This is very important. Because, now, we've lost, I want you to know there's a fantastic article, which you all must read. And if you haven't read, if you don't even know about it, you should be ashamed of yourselves. There's an article that appeared about 2 years ago in Tradition, written by Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, in which Reb Chaim Soloveitchik talks about the transition that occurred between before the Shoah and after the Shoah in the religious community. And he points out that before the Shoah, in the previous generation, we were he talks about it being a mimetic society, a society which copied, which learned from its parents, learned from its community around them. And we have changed, and the transition was gradual, but the greatest transition occurred from before the Shoah and after the Shoah, when there was a breaking tradition, that we've turned into a book society. That is, we've turned into a society where what we know is only from books, not because we grew up in a frum community in which there was a link of tradition of mother and grandmother and great-grandmother or father, where we lost a great deal about that. There's a fantastic story about Menachem Klein, and my brother talked about this, very same idea. And there's a whole, Menachem Friedman was here, we lectured about this. This is a very important article by Chaim Soloveitchik. Maybe I'll just take cut. The problem is it's about 75 pages long. But it's an incredible. He gives a very fantastic, I'm going off on a tangent, I know. He gives a fantastic example. He says, you know, you go to religious weddings and they start playing some Labadik music. He says the difference between that Labadik music and hard rock is very often very hard and he talks about, so then it's very hard, the lines are very, have you ever had some stuff by the Piamenti brothers? It's really very, very hard. And he says, I am going to argue that syncopation is something that's natural. So he has a long footnote which documents that syncopation beat is a learned response. And the fact that it's not because it's labored, it comes from the neshama. It's something that you learn from the society around you. So like a whole page footnote, syncopation. I was at a wedding of a relative of mine, and the Piamenti brothers were actually playing, and I was dancing with my brothers, I just stopped dancing. I said, the Chaim Soloveitchik syncopation, and that was it. And my brother stopped dancing too, he couldn't dance anymore. And he said, why is it? Why does it go? He says, it goes because the Svarim don't say it's us, sir. Now, so anybody who's raised in a religious community has a tradition. When Mordechai Ben David came out with one of his tapes, I don't remember, like 10 years ago, the Eidah Haredis Yerushalayim mastered it. He says this syncopation is not Jewish. I don't remember if you remember it or if you were here. But they asked him, he says, others would never dance the music like that. Mordechai Ben David won over. Avraham Fried won over. A lot of this syncopation stuff does get into your system. But what you're testifying to is maybe this is something that we raised in America or England didn't hear. But those raised in Europe did have a tradition of a bakasha that was said every morning, which was said, which did include the elements of Sheva Bakasha.
Yeah. Sometimes I think I'm a sophisticated person because I had other education as well. But this, that college, etc., has nothing to do with that. That every time I go back to my origins, and with many, many other things, I keep that way we kept in Europe, because I feel that maybe somebody will see and ask a question from me. And sure enough, somebody in London asked me that. Everybody, of course, comprises everybody else. And somebody asked me, Mrs. Tauber, you go so nicely, you have such nice hats, and or at that time there were no shades abounding like now. So I covered my hat. So you have such nice hats. Why do you wear a white kerchief, a chalet on your head on Yom Kippur? I said, what else do I do on Yom Kippur differently? He says, you dress all in white. I said, yes, why do you do that? I said, because I wish to keep up what I have seen from my mother, Zichrana Livracha. I would like to go back that day. I, all year round, please don't criticize me, I said to her. All year round, I do things the way they do here.
No, that's what
this is my day of returning to my roots. And I do the way I have seen at home.
The reason how I know that the custom is that women dress in white too, because in the post we discussed men wearing kitla, they say the women wear white too. I know it from books, book knowledge. I don't remember my mother doing it. I don't remember. I'm sure maybe she did. I don't remember. I wasn't home all the time. But I think that Hamachli says, by the time I was 18, I was out of the house. This is exactly what Soloveitchik was talking about. The Chaim Soloveitchik about this mimetic tradition, which is based on.
Right.
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 I know that's right.
And they wore the white dresses by
this.
But
yes.
In this age,
women,
it was their
tachrichim. It was their tachrichim, exactly. All right, let's get back to the subject of that. And what I'd like to do is read the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is on this side of the page. Now, for those who don't remember, What we have in front of us is a selection from Mishnah Berurah. The text on top over here is the Shulchan Aruch. From time to time, you'll see in the block text, there is some script text. That's the Rav Moshe Ishelish. Okay, but we're going to read now Kuf Vav in the Shulchan Aruch. Mi heim haptuvim mitfilah. Who are free from prayer? So let's read. Aleph. Kol haptuvim. This is the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo. Kol haptuvim mitkriyat shema, pturim mitfilah. The kol shechayav bekriyat shema, chayav mitfilah. Who's ever obligated in Kriyat Shema is obligated in prayer. Who's ever freed from Kriyat Shema, and he's a verse of prayer. Who's ever freed from Yishai, freed from prayer, meaning Shemona Esrei. V'chol shechayav b'Kriyat Shema, chayav b'tefillah is obligated. Chutz, now here are the examples, exceptions. Chutz me'am lavin et amet, she'en l'mita tzorach ben, she'af api she'en chayavim b'Kriyat Shema, pturim mitfillah. They're talking about a person who's a pallbearer. Okay, which and they're carrying it from city to city, or they're going along, and for that moment, the casket doesn't need them; they're off duty for that moment. So he says they chap a Kriyat Shema because Kriyat Shema is fast, but Shemona Esrei they can't get into because they can't have maybe they'll need them. And Kriyat Shema you can do in a minute or two. Shemona Esrei takes much longer. Okay, so they're free. They're obligated in Kriyat Shema and patur from tefillah. Another possibility of explanation, because Kriyat Shema is biblical and tefillah is rabbinic, right? That's another possibility of distinction. V'nashim v'avadim she'af api she'pturim mikriyat Shema chayavim b'tefillah, and women, right? V'avadim she'af api she'pturim, even though they're free from Kriyat Shema, they're obligated in tefillah. Why? Mepnei shehi mitzvat asei. Shalom Hazman Grama. The Shulchan Aruch comes down on whose side? On the side of the Rambam, the Rif, that the Rif doesn't mention Rachamei. So he's coming out on the Rambam side that women are, that it's a biblical obligation prayer, and it is a Baz Gemel, which is not time determined, and that's why they are free. Ketanim Shigil Lechinuch Chayavim Lechanchay. You have to teach your children to pray. That means they don't have to daven everything, but you start getting them into daven. Now, we're going to read now at the bottom in the Mishnah Berurah. This is the Chofetz Chaim in this major halachic work, Dalid. You see that it's like it's in the Mishnah Berurah Dalid. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom, Dalid. Okay? Everybody have it? Shehi mitzvat aseh. Kol zeh. The Dat HaRambam, all this comes according to the Rambam. Shirak Zmanei HaTfilah Heim Medivbe Sofrim. Avon Iker Mitzvah Tfilah Heim Min HaTorah. Shenemar Lovdo B'chol Avavchem. Eiza Avoda Shihi Balev. Hevei Omer Zot Tfilah. This we saw in the Rambam, that the Rambam holds a prayer. The biblical is the service of the heart. Ela She'ein Nusach Yidua Min HaTorah. יכול להתפלל בכל נוסח שירצה ובכל עת שירצה, he can daven any text he wants to, any time he wants to. ומי שיתפלל פעם אחת ביום או בלילה, if you pray one time during the day or night, יצא ידי חובתו מן התורה, you fulfilled your biblical obligations. וכתב המגן אברהם, שעל פי סברה זו, based on this logic, נהגו רוב נשים שאין מתפללים ידי חובתם, מתפללים י"ח, 18, בתמידות רגילי שחר וערב, לפי שאומרות מיד בבוקר סמוך לנטילה, איזה בקשה, they say some request. ומן התורה יוצאות בזה, ואפשר שאף חכמים, we're three lines from the bottom, ואפשר שאף חכמים לא חייבו יותר. Perhaps the rabbis are not obligated anymore, and this is what women rely on. Aval continues the Mishnah Berurah. Data Ramban, she'ikar mitzvah tefillah hi medivek sofrim. But the Ramban holds that prayer is rabbinic in origin. Shehem anshei Knesset HaGdolah, she'tiknu yudchet brachot al haseder. This is the anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Who's the rabbi where you say it's rabbinic in origin? Who are these rabbis? This is the anshei Knesset HaGdolah at the beginning of the Second Temple. They set up the text of the brachot. The 18th bracha that should be said in a particular origin, a particular order. The parallel time shachrit u'mincha chova ועבית רשות, and ערבית as originally as optional. ואף על פי שום מצוות עשה בדברי סופרים, שהזמן גם, even though it's a rabbinic obligation, which is past, which is time determined, ואנשים פטורות מכל מצוות עשה שהזמן גם, אפילו מדברי סופרים, and women are normally free from all past commandments, which are time determined, even though they're rabbinic, כגון קידוש הלבנה, like the blessing of the new moon, which comes once a month, אף על פי כן, חייבו אותן תפילת שחרית ומנחה, כמו אנשים, הועל ותפילה היא, הועל ותפילה היא בקשת תחמין. וכן עיקר, and that is the major opinion, כי כן דעת רוב הפוסקים, because that's the view of the majority of פוסקים. וכן יחיע בספר שגת אריה, על כן יש להזהיר, כי כן דעת רוב הפוסקים, וכן הכריע בספר שגת אריה, על כן יש להזהיר לנשים שהתפללו יוד ח' ונכון גם כן שקבלו עליהם עול מלכות שמיים. תהיינו שיאמרו על כל פנים שמע ישראל. He says, they should say קריאת שמע, they're not obligated, but they should. Okay, we'll stop here. So, you see the Mishnah Berurah, and this is the consensus of almost all the other poskim, say that we're not obligated at least twice a day. Okay. Now, I should point out, however, one problem. Well, actually, we have two problems in this year. First of all, we have a problem that most women don't pray at all, let alone say what Mrs. Thomas said. They don't daven at all. And the poskim,
excuse me, I have to. Do you think this is all about what I daven?
Perish the thought. I'm talking about the majority of women. No,
I hope so.
The majority of women don't daven. Maybe they daven in a Shabbos. Maybe when the spirit moves them, with some Christ in the family, they'll daven. But as a general rule, women don't daven.
Do you
mean Shomrei Mitzvot? Do you mean Shomrei Mitzvot? Yes. I remember that the women who davened on a regular basis were considered very, very rare. Certainly in the previous generation. I don't know, maybe women are being more mocked than them. I don't think so. I still think the majority of women don't daven. And I want you to know that it presents a serious problem. Because if you want to educate your daughter to daven, and your wife doesn't daven, it's not so simple. And we have as halachicists, we have several problems to deal with. First of all, if they don't daven at all, according to the Rambam, they haven't fulfilled anything. Right? Rambam says you have to do shevach bakashan adoya. So when I asked that of my Rebbe said, it's impossible that a Jewish woman someday should not say, oh, you're a Jewish. And he demonstrates that many Rishonim will hold that you don't have to say Shema Bakash Mavdaya. The Rambam holds you have to say Shema Bakash Mavdaya. But there are other Rishonim who say you don't need that element. All you need is to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and communicate in any language. That is, that these other Rishonim agree with the Rambam that prayer is biblical, but even just to
every day?
Is your life so carefree that you never say, oh, so that, therefore, that is, and if you don't do it once a day, please do it once a day. Now, just one second. The second problem, I'm sorry, go ahead. If I don't answer the question in the next 5 minutes, make sure I do, okay? Second problem is, assuming that the majority of posts can hold, that women are obligated twice a day, how do we let them get away with it? How do we let them get away with it? How did the poskim now get up in shul, how do we jump up and down and scream? How are women considered tzidkaniyos and not daven 3 times a day?
Wait, if women are obligated,
yes,
why aren't they obligated to do it?
separate obligation.
Because
no, because the Chazal did not want to force them to go up. But this is going to come back to what the, related to what you're saying.
That in very, very learned families, that if father was a Talmid HaChamim, the father, and the sons went to yeshivot, and the daughters couldn't daven.
You're right.
And my aunt was known as a Zugern.
For Zogar, sure, these are women.
A Zogar. She davened loud, and the others said after her.
Right. These were women who davened out loud in shul, who davened loud. They davened, they knew it by heart, and they davened loud. And the other women listened.
She read, or she davened,
right. She said it out. Okay. Just one second. The answer is, there's a lot of, this is vague. Let me read you something that the Tzvi Yoshayot dealt with the question, under what grounds does the rabbinic authorities have to object? What are the rules where I have, if I see my community is not doing something right, on what grounds do I have to holler and scream? As a leader of my community, she says,
when you think you might have an impact.
Hold on for a second. Heikshinagu ha'am. Listen. Heikshinagu ha'am heter b'nyanei isur. Whether I see the community is being lenient about something that I think is not proper. V'yesh l'chachamim koach l'mchot, and I have the power to object. Rak yesh daya yechidit somechet min haga'am. But I see that there is a minority opinion which supports this view. It's a minority opinion, but it supports it. Even though the majority opinion is against this common custom, as I ain morin heter la'am, you don't go along and say it's mutter. V'ein mochin la'am gamgen, but you don't have to get up and holler and scream and object. Rak menichim otam b'stama shi'nagu k'shemot nagu again. You can leave them to act as they act until now. Kiven sheyesh deyasom mechetid min hagam, Ulay nikba minhag up in the azot. Maybe they're following that minority opinion.
But what's the minority opinion? So they don't have to daven at all.
No, the minority opinion said that the women have an obligation to pray, but not any particular text. Okay? That doesn't mean that when they come to school and they're learning halacha, that you shouldn't teach them what we're about to give. Okay? Now, I should also mention that Rav Avadi Yosef, despite everything that I've said until now, insists that women are not obligated to pray. Let's read it inside here. No. I'll tell you what he means, Spurdy. Aim not to the Yabia Omer, Maskana, right? Page 104 at the top. Okay? And he doesn't, he's not like the Magin, let's see what he says, Maskana. Page 104 at the top. Ein maskana, conclusion. Ein hanashim chayavot et parel shalosh tefilot b'chol yom, v'im rotzot lachmir al atzman, tavo aleihem bracha, v'ein chshash bracha shein et zricha, v'alavai shitparel adam kol yom kulo. Let me read that again, because there's a lot of stuff there. Ein nashim chayavot et parel shalosh tefilot b'chol yom. Women are not obligated to pray three times a day. Now, what's the problem? Once Avad Yosef says the women are not obligated three times a day, and Shmon Esrei is a bracha, and now you think about it, now you ask, but he's a Sephardi posek, right? How can they go ahead and how can Sephardi women not daven at all? Because we learned that if you're not obligated, according to the Avad Sephardi poskim, it's a bracha and it's licha, it's a minasli bracha, and you can't accept it upon you. Excellent. I will tell you that Avad Yosef rejects that view. Others don't reject that view. Okay? So this question, but that's a good point. What she's saying is that maybe that statement that you can't accept upon, that's only when it says, Asher Yishanu Mitzvah Vet Tzivanu. It was the Tzivanu that hung us up. But Avad Yosef doesn't hold that. Avad Yosef holds, it's not the Vitzivanu alone that's the problem. It's the saying of an unnecessary bracha. There's nothing. That's right. We saw in the Ram, the Ram got upset by the Vitzivanu. But other people, it wasn't just the Vitzivanu. It was there's a bracha shen etzvah. It's an unnecessary bracha. What are you going to make an unnecessary bracha? So, okay? Now, according. So, there is a machloket amongst Svardi poskim and amongst Ashkenazi poskim who want to paskin for Svardim about this distinction that you just made. However, Avad Yosef says that's not a distinction. So we have to be good. His authorship says if women are starting women, so what is he saying? The invokes. But nevertheless, he says, the invokes. Nashim lachmil atzman, tavo aleyem bracha. Ve'ein shas bracha shein atzlicha. Okay, that's him. He said, and it's not an unnecessary bracha. Va'alavai shitpalel adam kol hayom kula. Now that statement is a Gemara. It's as note 16 is Imrat Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, if only a person prayed all day long. I already mentioned to you that there's a concept of tefillat nedava. That just as if I in origin a person could daven 6 times a day, 7 times, you can volunteer brachot, tefillot, shmona esrei, just as you can volunteer korbanot. We dissuade people from doing it. We say, listen, you had your 3 prayers. Because you daven with kavana in your 3 prayers. Don't be a frumi and daven 6 times a day. Daven 3 times a day, twice a day. Get all that kavana in. But in origin, you could volunteer as many tefillot as you want to. Therefore, there's no problem with bracha shein etzvicha. Because I already told you can daven as many times as you want to. So it's not a problem.
Adam include Isha?
What? Oh, yeah. Sure. Isha chayevet betfilah achat liyom hapotachat b'shevach. So now he's really taking the Rambam position. He says, you have to say, the best formulation, the rabbinic formulation, say a Shmona Esrei. Do it right. But he's not obligating. He says, that's the best. Right, Mato. Now, notice, why does he pass in this way? Why does he pass him? You know, he passes against the Magen Avraham. He's passing against Mishnah Berurah, says the majority of us. Because he says, but the Shulchan Aruch says the reason why we're obligated to pray is why? Because it's a mitzvah that says Shalom Hazman Gramah. That, and he takes the Magen Avraham as being the Pshat and the Shulchan Aruch. And that's how he holds. He says, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, now let's look at the next line. Nir'el li, now this is a very interesting. It's a very interesting problem. Nireh li, im ta'ata b'tfila, v'shechacha talomata. A woman gets up. According to me, Avad Yosef, you're not obligated to daven Shmona Esrei. She gets up, and she forgets to say something that's important that you gotta say. She, for instance, she's also saying, v'tein talomata, or she said, forgot to say, mashim brokum or negeshim. She forgets to say, it's yotef, but she forgets to say, yalav v'yobo. She forgets something that's fundamental. For which a man would have to repeat Shmona Esrei again. Right? Now what would you say? Before reading, don't read further. What would you say? Does she have to repeat it?
No.
Why no?
She'd
have to do it in the first place. Wait, I'm not going to go back. She'd have to do it in the first place. And yes, why would you say yes?
Because if she's doing it, why do it
better? She already said, that's right. You didn't have to start dominating. But you said, I'm going to daven now. You got to do it right. Essentially, what you're saying is, if I go into daven, it's almost like saying, God, this one's for you. And when you say this one's for you, you got to do it right. And you got to keep doing it until you do it right. And that's what Avad Yosef says. Nearly, im tatavet fila v'shachacha talmata, yalaviyah v'chadome, bofen shebe'ish chayav lachzor, gam lenashim yeshlo hokeh. Women too. By the way, it's a machloket ha'achoni. It's a machloket. Some say yes, you got to go back. Some say no. For the very reasons, the very logic that's been stated here. Why? Me'achar shabal et panel benusach shetiknu chazal. She could have said any text she wanted to. But since she has already accepted upon herself, it's almost like a neder argument. Since she accepted upon herself to daven the text of chazal set up, sichal et panel kera'ui v'chein horeti l'maseh. He shows from the halacha when Ma'ariv was Rishut. Nowadays everybody davened, all men are obligated to daven Ma'ariv. But Ma'ariv was a Rishut. Suppose a man was not obligated to get up a Shmona Esrei. But if he got up to daven Ma'ariv, You had to daven it right. And if you forgot yalla yalla, you gotta repeat it. You, and the, why? What? That's what you did. That's about your sex major proof.
Married,
you have to repeat it? No, no. There's special rules. I said, when you have to repeat it. For instance, Rosh Chodesh. If you forgot ma and yalla, only Rosh Chodesh. Because they ain't catching Rosh Chodesh balayla. But for instance, that's a special din by Rosh Chodesh. That since the, at night time, they didn't do Kiddush HaKodesh at night. So at night time, you never really knew when it was Rosh Chodesh. So if you forget Yalla V'Yavo, it's all right. But if, for instance, Yom Tov, and you forget Yalla V'Yavo,
you have to repeat it.
You have to repeat it. Or it's Chol HaMoed. You forget Yalla V'Yavo. You forget Shemoneh Esrei. Okay. So, let me just go to, I didn't answer your question. Rav Sternbach has a whole different approach to the whole thing. And his argument is that he feels that logically can prove that women are not obligated to daven. He says, I don't know how to do the Gemara, the Negev. He says, it can't be that women are obligated to daven a regular daven, full daven. Why? He says, because almost all the women, and a very large percentage of the men, were illiterate. Certainly in Tamil Chazal. They didn't have texts. They didn't have books. Now, the men, the Chazal, why did they set up Chazal to Shatz? Why did they set up Chazal? Because so many men were illiterate. But men, the rabbis obligated the men to go to shul. Right? They obligated men to go to shul so the men could fulfill their obligation by hearing from the Shliach Tzibur. They were illiterate. But the women, and started davening the whole thing out loud. And the women, Chazal didn't want to obligate them to go to shul. So how could Chazal have obligated women in something which 95% of women could never have done? So Rav Sternbach argues that therefore it's not logical that women were obligated to pray in private. There's another argument that I heard the name of the Chafetz Chaim. I've never seen it in print, but there's a tradition, I think it appears in the Kol Kitzei, the Chafetz Chaim, that should try to track it down. The Chafetz Chaim, despite what he says in the Mishnah Berurah, did not, when the women of her household were married and had children, said they didn't have to pray. Because he said that they were so asuk the mitzvah, they were busy raising their families, and they're constantly being distracted. And davening needs kavanah. And therefore, the Chazal freed women, as long as they were married and had children in the house, freed from davening. And that's how the Chafetz Chaim held. If they were single, they had a daven. If they were divorced, they had a daven. If they had free time on their hands, they had a daven. As long as they had children running around the house. Now, what the Chafetz Chaim would say nowadays, if you have enough time to watch 2 hours of TV in the afternoon, whether you have time enough to daven, I don't know. I don't know what he would say in the modern period where women have a lot of free time on hand, right? Where women go to work, right? If you spend your whole day at work, right? You spend your whole day at work. Does that mean? That means you have time that you're not involved in family, to raise a family. That's a man does too. That's his idea. His idea was that you're a soup, but so chay abayit and then free. But if a woman, most women are out of the house, so they have to set aside 15 minutes every morning to daven. And as you're going to see, the time that's required to do a minimal davening, if I will demonstrate to you that all you have to do is birkot hashachar and shmoneh esrei, and according to most posts you fulfill, that should take you, with a lot of kavanah, 7 minutes.
Kids
must
fight one
job. You're not one of the kids.
Kids
fight
one
job,
not
only one. Let me just say what's going on. Krishna woman should say, but not out. We're just starting. Let me just give the bottom line. My gut feeling is as follows. I think the halacha is pretty clear. Contrary to what Avad Yosef says, what bothers me about Avad Yosef is that he's assuming that the halacha is like the Rambam, and we demonstrated already that the majority of Muslims hold the halacha is like the Rambam. And even if you hold like the Rambam, the whole Brisker school, and many others, not just the Brisker, the whole other poskim hold, you can learn a different pshat in the Rambam. And even the Magen Avraham, who everybody relies on, said, Efshar, maybe the rabbis. It seems to me pretty clear that the halachic weight is behind the fact that women should bow in Shmon Esrei twice a day. On the other hand, Jewish history has dictated that women don't daven. Why they don't? I don't find the reasons convincing. I feel that particularly a lot of the reasons given, which were illiteracy or being busy in the house, are really no longer justified. No. I don't think that there's any reason. And fundamentally, tefillah is rachamim. It's a request for mercy. I will say, however, that after I read a long, lengthy article by Mordechai Eliyahu. And Mordechai Eliyahu says, even though he believes that women really are obligated to daven twice a day, he says, don't try to change the world necessarily with your daughter. He said, you impress upon her how important fear is. You impress upon her. He said, you know, you have a situation, and this is exactly the situation that I really identify. He said, you want to raise your daughters to daven. None of her friends are davening. The mothers are not davening. Nobody around is davening. And you're telling your daughter, you're driving her crazy. Daven shakras a minute every day. He says, you raise your daughter, make it clear to her what you feel the halacha is. You may express her also that the reason why her mother's not davening is because she's relying on the Magen Avraham, which is a minority opinion. But your mother is also acting within a kondo halacha. You don't want you. You want to educate you to why does her. Your mother is doing what she's following the view of the Magen Avraham and the Avadiyah safe and they're posting. Well, that's a minority opinion, right? And it's very important and you'll bring it to her attention. But he says, don't go to battle over it. He says, because you can break a child. Especially since there's room in halacha to justify the minority opinion, we saw that the poskim say that if there's a minority opinion, you don't have to come down too hard. That you have to walk a very fine line of sensitivity and an understanding that it's that you. I'm repeating myself. On one hand, you teach them how important it is. On the other hand, you give them the flexibility that if they don't. Don't daven as often as you'd like them to daven. Be understanding. I think it's a very wise approach since the halakha seems to have that flexibility.
Well, at the time that daven was given
form,
were women literate?
No. Men were literate.
By
chaining? It was literacy came in much later with the printing press and books, the teaching people read. It came in much, much later.
Men were
good. That's why the presumption. See you next week.
Thank you.